In the years since AIDS researchers began reporting the first good news about new drugs called protease inhibitors, tens of thousands of people have begun taking the drugs. Stories of patients near death staging dramatic comebacks are no longer unusual, but many thousands more may never be able to take advantage of the new medications. For people with unstable living situations, the homeless, the addicted, the mentally ill, the complexity of the drug regimen may put the hope provided by the new treatments out of reach. NPR's Joe Neal has this report.
Just south of downtown San Francisco sits the country's premier AIDS clinic, Ward 86 at the San Francisco General Hospital. There is hope here now. New drugs called protease inhibitors, given together with older anti-AIDS drugs like AZT, are producing stunning turnarounds. People who had been in the final stages of AIDS, thin and frail and near death, have come back to nearly full health. But achieving these results, keeping the AIDS virus suppressed, is not simple.
Oh, there's six protease that you take. They're like refrigerated, real fat capsules. And then two AZT, and I take a 3TC, and one Septra in the morning. So that's what, 6, 10 pills in the morning, and then
Joe's currently taking a total of 19 pills a day. Some pills have to be taken on a full stomach. Some have to be refrigerated. And timing is important. All must be taken on a strict daily schedule.
The whole thing is a discipline process. You know you're not supposed to miss any dosages. So it turns into a full-time job, but you just learn to adapt to all this kind of stuff.
Joe says he's missed only one dose since he started about 10 months ago. And in that time, his immune system has begun to heal, and he's had fewer infections. But for people with HIV who don't have homes or refrigerators or even watches, the potential benefits of these drugs may be offset by the harm they can do if they're not taken exactly as prescribed. Over in Civic Center Plaza, in the heart of San Francisco, scores of homeless people camp day and night on the park benches. The plaza is also the closest breath of fresh air for people who rent rooms in the dingy transient hotels of the adjacent Tenderloin and Mission districts. These men and women struggle with addictions, joblessness, mental illness, and estimates say that 1 in 10 is infected with HIV. And word is spreading here about the new drugs that are keeping people with AIDS alive. At the city's Tom Waddell Free Clinic, a block away, a patient waits in the first room on the left. Mark is a 25-year-old man who lives with his girlfriend in a nearby transient hotel. Both Mark and his girlfriend have HIV. They also have two children.
This is Tommy, my son. He's 6 months old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is he?
No, he's negative. Him and his sister both came up negative. So.
Is this part of the reason you've come in to try to get treatment?
Big part of it, yeah. That and it seems like these newer treatments and stuff are working. On the street, you hear that it can bring your viral count down to 98%. And it's like I had mentioned it one time, I said, well, there's really no sense in me coming in if you guys don't have anything that's going to do any good. I mean, But now they have something that seems like it's doing something.
But Mark's doctor, AIDS specialist Barry Zevin, doesn't automatically prescribe the new drug combinations for his homeless patients.
Sometimes I'm in the position where I'm saying to a patient, I know that these are good medications, but let's look realistically at this. Is this something that you will be able to do? Because if you can't, then we may very well be doing more harm than good by giving it to you.
If people can't take the drugs on time, every time, the protease inhibitors cause the AIDS virus to mutate and to become resistant to the new drugs.
If the medicines are taken continuously, the virus is suppressed continuously. If there are missed doses, if there are times when the medicine is taken only sporadically, it is almost a guarantee that virus will take over in the person's system that's resistant to those particular medications.
And if the virus becomes resistant to these new drugs, patients may die more quickly than if they'd had no treatment at all. According to the director of San Francisco's health department, Dr. Sandra Hernandez, drug resistance could become a big problem. If enough people with HIV develop resistance to protease inhibitors, she'll be back to relying solely on needle exchanges and safe sex messages to fight the epidemic.
It's taken us, 11 years to get to the options that we currently have in these combination therapies. And if you end up developing resistance to many or all of these antiretrovirals, you're back in a situation where you've got HIV infection going on and you have nothing to offer people because they're infected with resistant strains. It set us back into the early 80s.
To Hernandez, the public health mandate is to treat the maximum number of people who might benefit from protease inhibitors while ensuring that those people are sticking to the treatment regimen. One of the more experimental approaches is being promoted by Hernandez. It's a variation on observed therapy, a method that reversed an emerging epidemic of tuberculosis in this country in the early 1990s. Essentially, public health nurses go out and watch people take their medicine every day. Hernandez says it could work for people with HIV.
We should make available someone who doesn't require a lot of training, doesn't have to be a doctor, doesn't have to be a nurse, it can be an outreach worker, it'd be a peer person, it can be a lay person. It could be a church, it could be a shelter worker, but be able to make sure that these patients are taking their medications at the appropriate hour as prescribed.
She says patients without any place to keep the drugs and patients without a refrigerator could leave their medicine with one of these people and come in several times each day for the pills. But for many people, that is too complicated. So another approach is being tried.
Our job is to focus on how we reduce the chaos in these individuals' lives so they stand a chance of success on these drugs.
Pat Kristen of the San Francisco AIDS Foundation says that housing is the starting point.
Well, as soon as individuals have stable housing and that question mark is removed from their lives, they are very eager to engage in discussions about treatment options and other referrals to improve their own health.
But housing in San Francisco is in extremely short supply, and the vacancy rate for low-income housing is below 2%.
I tell everybody, no matter where I go, like at the food bank, I put the word out there to let everybody know that I'm looking for housing. I get a lot of leads.
Charlie is a client of the AIDS Foundation's housing program.
And just like from general, every place I go, if there's somebody to talk to, I talk to them and let them know I'm looking for housing, no matter where it is.
Today, Charlie is on the streets following up a lead on an apartment. But like so often in the past, it's just another dead end. Back in the offices of the AIDS Foundation, he pours out his frustration to his housing counselor, Rodney Murphy. Charlie is 41, and he knows he's been HIV positive for 11 years. He's been looking for a place nearly every day since he moved here 2 years ago, and he doesn't see things ever getting better.
You seen my white shoes and the holes in the bottom? Come on.
I know you're pounding the pavement.
It should not be this hard. I don't care if the market is 1%. I don't care. Don't tell me that there's not a place in this city that I can't rent. I don't want to even hear that. I won't accept it.
For an hour, they discuss where Charlie has looked and where he might look further. But Charlie has become so upset that he's been up all night doing drugs and drinking vodka. And while Murphy tells us that Charlie might be a candidate for protease inhibitors, he says he's not ready right now.
He and his doctor had decided that protease at this time wouldn't be a good idea. Certainly because he's relatively healthy right now, but also his life is very unstable.
Creating stability in someone's life can take weeks or months to achieve, if it ever is. And it's a costly undertaking. The AIDS housing program is already spending more than $2 million a year. The observed therapy program is not yet funded. And if these programs succeed, more patients will be taking the new drug combinations, which can cost up to $20,000 per person per year. And now the expense of the efforts to get protease inhibitors to the homeless is causing a fight within the San Francisco AIDS community. Some are charging that money spent on social services is money being taken away from more stable people with HIV and AIDS who are ready and willing to take the drugs responsibly, but who can't afford them. Stephen LeBlanc is an AIDS activist with ACT UP Golden Gate.
If there's a battle, it's a battle between a fairly entrenched, you know, nonprofit AIDS service industry and sort of regular people with AIDS who are trying to get access to drugs to keep them, you know, working and alive. And people with AIDS need a lot of services, but you don't fund these programs for homeless people and IV drug users by taking away money to pay for life-saving AIDS drugs. So what we have to do is make sure that these treatments that the federal government spent so much money helping to develop can actually get in the hands of people who need them.
Pat Kristen of the AIDS Foundation is defending the programs for the homeless in the starkest terms.
If we're talking about government funding, first and foremost, we should look at those who are the neediest amongst us and figure out how we stabilize their lives to give them a chance of success with these treatments and work from there on up. Because the rest of us can advocate for ourselves and we'll do just fine, but those folks won't.
This dispute among AIDS advocates may sound rancorous, but the fact is everyone in San Francisco wants to find a way to get these drugs to all the people who need them. There's no doubt that San Francisco represents the best-case scenario among the nation's cities hit hard by HIV. San Francisco has a relatively small population of homeless people and drug users infected with the AIDS virus, and the city has long made treatment and prevention of AIDS a top spending priority by public and private institutions. In other cities, where AIDS is more and more centered around the addicted and the homeless, it could be even harder to save lives and prevent a return to the days when AIDS was not treatable. I'm Joe Neal reporting.